Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin, Daf Tes Zayin. Okay, two Dafim away from the end of the first parak of Erevin. We are still talking about Lechi, and we're talking about Koreb, but we are speaking today about what could be a universal topic throughout Shas, and that is, what if everything's equal? What if you have equals amount of, I'd say Isser Vehetra, but that's not really true over here, Mechitza, non-Mechitza. So, as we learned in the Mishnah, let's go over the Mishnah one more time. We're on Tes Vav Amud Beis. And I'm just going to review the Mishnah. Shayara Shechanta Bebiko. So, you have a caravan going through a valley. Vikifu Akli Behema Metaltim Besocha. So, now what you want to do is you want to make a makeshift for Shusiyachit. So, you take all the saddles and you can take even some of the animals and lay it around and make a circumference around you with all this equipment. So that's great. So the only thing is, make sure that it's 10 tefachim high. Every wall has to be 10 tefachim high. And you can't have more pirtzos than minyan. So in other words, if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says very clearly that as long as the openings do not exceed the amount of wall, so that would be fine. A clear reading of the Mishnah, or a clear implication of the Mishnah would be, is that if everything was equal, so that would be okay as well. We're going to come back to that critical reading of the Mishnah in just a moment. Kol pirtzos she'be'asar amos mutaros. Now, as far as openings for a doorway, so if the pirtzos is 10 amos, then that would be okay. Mipnei she'ka pesach, because that's not a pirtzos, that's a pesach, that's an opening. Yes, mikan also, but anything more than that would be asar. As I explained yesterday, but I'm going to reiterate today, in terms of a pirtzos, so the pirtzos would negate the entire structure, even if in totality you had more wall than airspace, but nevertheless, so if you have a pirtzos, so then that's going to compromise the entire structure. Even when you don't have a pirtzos, even if all you had is just simply a pesach, but you still need more wall than you do airspace. Okay, that is the Mishnah. And again, so this is now going to lead us into a very basic discussion, which is going to basically take us through the entirety of today's daf. I love it coming up on the Amud Beis, although love is also on the Amud Aleph, but really our entire daf is dedicated to one topic, and that's the following Itmar. So we start with the Gemara, and the Gemara discusses the following. Paritz ka'omein. What if it's equal? What if I have an equal amount of open as I do airspace? Other way around. Airspace as I do open, as I do wall. Rav Papa Amar Mutar, Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua Amar Asar. So we have a machlokas over here between Amarayim. So Rav Papa says that it's Mutar, and Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua says that it's Asar. Rav Papa Amar Mutar, Hach Yagmei Rachman Lamoshe, Lo Tifrots Rubam. Look, Mechitzas Halach Lamoshe Mesinai, right? We talked about that earlier in Masechta Erevin. We're going to talk about it again in Sukkah, but there's nothing to talk about. Mechitas are halach l'moshe m'sinai. So now it's just a question of what exactly was the oral transmission of law that was given to Moshe. So according to Rav Papa, it went as follows. Lo tifro tsruba. I cannot have the majority of the wall open up exposed. So that means that you got to patch it up. But patch it up means once you get to half and half. Once you get to half and half, you're fine. Because the halach l'moshe m'sinai is lo tifro tsruba. That's according to Rav Papa. Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua Amar Aser Hachiag Merechman LaMoshe Gidur Ruba. And according to Rav Huna, son of Rav Yeshua, no, the halacha Moshe Mesinai is where Hashem's instructions to Moshe is that you want to make a mechitza Gidur Ruba. The majority of it has to be sealed off. 51% has to be wall, 49% has to be airspace. Then and only then do you have a wall. Do you have a mechitza? Good. So that's going to be our machlokis. There's not going to be any agreement over here. In other words, there is a total disagreement about where we stand on mechzal mechzal, half and half. Rav Papa says it's good. Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua says it's not good. And now the only question is, how do we paskin lehalacha? What is the halachic conclusion? So we kind of hint to it at the beginning of the whole sugya, and then when all said and done, which by the way, all said and done means this is really going to take us for a while. This will take us to the Amud Beis of today's daf. The Gemara is going to finally punctuate the whole discussion. But in the meantime, however, Tanan v'lo yipritzos yisera salabinyan. First, let's take a look at our Mishnah, because our Mishnah kind of speaks to what the halacha is. The Mishnah says, look, you want to make your makeshift reshitza yachin and put a wall around you while you're traveling, so that's fine as long as the pirtza does not exceed the binyan. So if you read the Mishnah and you read it carefully, it sounds like, and the Gemara here spells it out, ha kibinyan mutter. If everything is equal, it would be mutter. Okay. So that's how you would read our Mishnah, and that obviously would be supportive of the position of Rav Papa. The Gemara says, Lo tema ha kibinyan mota ela ema im binyan, yeser ala pirtza mota. Ava kibinyan mai. I'm sorry, before I get on to the next point. So the Gemara says, well, what you could do is you could read the Mishnah the following way, is that if the binyan is greater than the pirtza, it would be mota. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. Again, it's not the simple pshan the Mishnah, but we're going to try to defend the position of Rav Huna Bered to Rav Yeshua. Maybe that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Aval kibinyan mai aser. So that means that if it's equal, there would be aser. Yehachi lifnei lo yipirtzos kibinyan. So if that's really the intent of the Mishnah, why wouldn't the Mishnah say it in the clearest way possible? Which would be that if the pirtzos equal the binyan, so then it would be I'm sorry, the pirtzos cannot equal the binyan. Why doesn't the Mishnah say it that way? Kasha, the Gemara says, that's difficult, you're right. According to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, the Mishnah could have been articulated in a much clearer manner. Why didn't the Mishnah do that? The Gemara says, I'm going to leave that off as a question, I do not know. Tashma. And here we now are going to start the sugya. We're going to go through Mishnayos, Braisos, and basically we're going to try to come to some sort of conclusion in terms of who does a halacha follow like, does it follow like Rav Papa or like Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Just one general point before we go on to the Gemara. First of all, we're talking about exactitude. We're talking over here about exactly 50-50. So you know throughout Shas, this also becomes a large discussion of Efshel et Samtzein. Is it possible that we can come to such exact measurements where I know I have a wall surrounding us, and I know exactly 50% of it is wall, 50% of it is airspace. So can we do that in halacha? So in general, you know, you've been with us long enough, you know, that's a machlokis, whether Efshel et Samtzein or E Efshel et Samtzein. The Tosfos over here points out, as you can see on the second to last Tosfos on this Amud, from our whole discussion, it sounds like Efshel et Samtzein, that it's possible to be this exacting and know with precision that 50% is open and 50% of it is closed. There is a distinction about whether it's Efshel et Samtzein bide Adam or bide Shamayim, whether it happens naturally, organically, or whether we create the situation. Over here, we're creating the situation. Maybe that's why over here we're in agreement, Efshel et Samtzein. Okay, but anyway, that's a general point which, not on the daf, but important just to understand our daf. Let's go. We start now, Tashma. So now we're talking about making schach for a sukkah. Now the rules are very simple. In order to make schach for your sukkah, you have to have the majority of what's on top of your sukkah, kosher schach. Kosher schach means it has to be something growing out of the ground, it has to be detached from the ground, and it cannot be mekabel tumah. Those are your three big rules regarding schach. If it's mekabel tumah, it's not going to be kosher schach. So, the Mishnah over here describes using either metal poles or aruchos amita, bedposts. Bedposts are fashioned into utensils, they're kalim. They're mekabel tumah, it's not going to be, you cannot use it for your schach. So what does the Mishnah teach us? Look, as long as I have airspace between the bedposts, and the airspace between them is exactly equal to the width of the bedposts, and obviously in that airspace, I'm putting up kosher schach, so the Mishnah says, that's good, that'll work. So again, that now speaks to the idea of Rav Papa, that equal is acceptable, that as long as I have equal amounts of schach and non-schach, as long as I have an equal amount, that's going to be good enough. So, what are you going to do if you're Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua? So he says, you see that Mishnah over there? We're going to interpret it in the following manner. It's not equal. But rather, it's nichnas v'yotzei, which means that the airspace is just a little bit wider than that of the bedpost. Meaning, if I took another bedpost, I'm able to easily put it in and take it out. So obviously the gap between has to be just a little bit wider. So in other words, I have more airspace greater room for schach than there is bedpost, then it would be kosher. But if it's equal, it would be pasur. V'ha'i efshel et samtzein, so the Gemara says, why would that necessarily be so? Can't we make it exactly 50-50? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami ben Ma'adif. So Rav Ami says, yeah, but we made it just a little bit wider. This whole sequence of the Gemara, Efshel et Samtzein, Rav Ami's answer of Ma'adif, you can take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos feels that this whole give and take over here doesn't belong in our Gemara. Okay, but I read it anyway. Rashi had it, and we move on. Rava Amarim Hayu Nesunim Erev Nosnim Shesi Nosno Erev. Or another possibility is the following. Maybe, over here, what we're discussing is the following, where, let's call it equal, let's say the airspace between the Aruchos Amita is exactly the same as the Aruchos Amita, but we were assuming that it's bedpost schach in equal amounts. Maybe not. Maybe it's bedpost perpendicular schach, and I crisscross the bedpost with the schach. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And under such circumstances, we would say that in that case it would be kosher, because we're going to make the argument that there's more schach than there is bedpost. Now, what difference does it make? This is going to be a little bit tricky. What difference does it make whether I line it up parallel or I line it up perpendicular? So it sounds like from Rashi that if I line up perpendicular, you're going to have more schach than you would have bedpost. Rashi says, "Im ha'yishpudim." I'm reading the last Rashi on the Amud. "Im ha'yishpudim nesum shesi nosin l'schach kasher erev de'afilu lohed if arevach ha'ikas schach kasher tfei." There's more kasher schach. "De kavan de nosno erev e efshar la'amod ela imken rosho echad munach al hashpud mikan v'rosho echad munach al hashpud mikan." There has to be some sort of excess existing on both sides of the bedposts, and so therefore under such circumstances there's more schach than there's going to be bedposts. So again, either way the Gemara is trying to defend Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yehoshua, either we will suggest that the gap in between is wider, that's why it's puzzle, or what we'll suggest is that I crisscrossed it, put the schach on a perpendicular angle from that of the shpudim, and that's why it would be good, because there's more schach than there is shpudim.
Why is the
Gemara
assume that's
going to
be the same halacha?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on your question later on, because Tosfos does raise your question later on the daf, but right now, I'm just like the Gemara, I'm just going to assume it's a universal truism. That once you say it's mechza mechza, it's true here by mechitzah, it's true by schach, but you're correct though. In other words, and we're going to touch on it later, because Tosos later on is going to point out that there are a number of halachas that don't make it into our discussion. So we're going to come back. We have a b'raisa over here. The b'raisa over here, again, a caravan that's parking in the valley over Shabbos. And so once again, we want to make a makeshift for Shosiach. So what do? We surround ourselves with camels. Right. We talked about using animals as material for wall. So using camels and saddles, okafos, avitim, pillows, shlifim, bundles, kanim, reeds, kolchos, vegetable stalks. In other words, the point is we could use any material you want, including animal. We learned yesterday's daf, that's subject to a controversy, but the halach is, you could use animals, you could use food. So again, but the reason why we're bringing this brisa down now is for the following. Uva vachaloyhe ben gamal agamal, kimalo gamal. Uven ukav ukav, kimalo ukav. Uven avit la avit, kimalo avit. So, but once again, as long as you have equal spaces between camel, non-camel. Camel, non-camel. So once again, it sounds, this is supportive of Rav Papa, that when they're equal, it's fine. It's only when the airspace exceeds the amount of wall, then and only then it's going to be a problem. So once again, another support for Rav Papa, Hachanami, Kishnechtas V'yotze. So the Gemara's response is, once again, we're going to have to say, like we said in the case of the Sukkah, that it's not equal amount. It's Nechnas V'yotze. Meaning that in the area where there's airspace, I can easily slide a camel. But in other words, I can easily just put the camel in and out of that airspace, i.e. there's just a little bit more airspace than there is camel. It is not Mechza Mechza. And that's how the Gemara, once again, we're going to support or defend Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yehoshua. Okay, Tashma. Okay, we're going to do this again. Now again, let's not lose sight of what we're trying to do over here. Mechza or Mechza, is that a Mechitza or is that not a Mechitza? That's our question. It's a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yehoshua. The reason why I'm reviewing that is because there's a good chance we're all going to get lost, myself included. Because here we are now, we're going to have a brisa, and the brisa is going to be long, and it's going to be slightly complicated. But once again, though, we're using this brisa to try to prove either Rav Papa or Rav Huna Breid or Rav Yeshua's position. Now, this brisa over here is not talking about a mechitza lagabi Shabbos. It's talking about a mechitza for the purposes of the Issa of Kalai. We've learned earlier, we've seen this in the Masechta already once before, that when you have a mechitza, not only does a mechitza partition for Shabbos, a mechitza also partitions for Kalayim. I can plant vine and other seeds in the same vineyard. That is a violation of the Issa of Kalayim. So they have to be at a distance of one another, or, we've said this before, even if they're not at a distance of one another, but if I have a wall separating them, between them, that would be good enough as well. Now I understand, I made this point already earlier in the Masechta, a wall is not going to separate the roots from one another, but as I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to repeat again now, in the world of Kalayim, that doesn't matter. Meaning even though the roots themselves somehow may have a little bit of overlap, but as long as there's a wall separating the two, so that would be good enough. And not only that, furthermore, it doesn't even have to be a real wall. Even if it's a halachic wall, right? Well, all the halachas of Lavud, of Gudasik, of Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's a legal wall, that would be enough to make a separation between your vine and your grape and any other seeds that you plant on the other side. So far, so good. That's all by way of introduction. Here we go now. Tashma. So there are three midos. Midos over here basically means categories. And they are as follows. Let's say the wall is made up of rods. I put them one next to another, and they're within three tfachim of one another. We all know what's going to happen over here. We've now created a halachic wall using the principle of lavud. So pachus mishosha tzarech shol yeh ben zel hazeh shlosha kedei shol yizdaker agdi bevas rosh kol shehu. So that the goat is not able to go between the rods. It certainly sounds like over here, and we've gotten hints of this also earlier in the Masechta, that lavud is a function of the goat. Meaning, you're right, you normally see those two halachas go side by side. That the reason why lavud is less than three tfachim is so to impede progress of the goat. So, and you'll see later on, by the way, again, the Gemara is going to make another hint and allegation that this is in fact so, that lavud is a function of the goat crossing over, impeding the progress of the goat. Anyway, but the point is that once I have this wall where the rods are within three tfachim of one another, it's a lavud wall, and therefore I can plant a grape on one side and whatever seed I want on the other side. So, lo yizakar gadi bevas rosh kol shu. So, gimel. Umi gimel adalid. Now we're in category number two. In category number two, it's where the rods that I put down are anywhere between three and four tfachim. So in other words, the rods, the actual width of the rods are somewhere between three to four tfachim. Up to four, meaning not four itself. You'll see why that's important in just a moment. So there, it has to be where the airspace in between cannot be equal to the amount of wall. So in other words, it can't be 3.5 of wall, followed then by 3.5 of airspace, followed then by 3.5 of wall, followed then by 3.5 of airspace. That's not going to work. Because then we're going to have equal amounts of wall and airspace. The Maya Paritz Meruba Ala Omeid, but if you have Paritz which is greater than the Omeid, Af Keneged Omeid Aser, there you're done. Meaning you cannot plant vine on one side and other seeds on the other side, and even if it's directly facing whatever wall you have a 3.5 tefach wall, it's not going to help you. Because I don't have now a mechitza running across, and so I can't even use that 3.5 tefach wall, plant vine on one side and seed on the other side. Okay, so that is now category number two. Category number three, kol shehu daled ume arba'a ad eser amos. Now in category number three, we're going to have our walls made up of slats that are anywhere from four tfachim to 10 amos. That's a wide range, but that's the range. Once again, I can't have equal amounts of airspace between the walls. So in other words, a 9-amah slat followed by 9 amas of airspace, followed by the 9-amah slat, that's not going to work. Shelo yeh paritz kol meid, because then you're going to have paritz kol meid, and that's no good. V'imayah paritz kol meid. Now, if you have more airspace than you have wall, keneged ha'omed mutter, I can plant on one side of actual wall vine, on the other side, other seeds. Mutter keneged ha'paritz oster, but anything that's facing the actual airspace would be oster. V'imayah omed merubal ha'paritz, but let's go the other way. Let's have more wall than I have airspace. Av keneged ha'paritz mutter. Then I can plant, now we have a functional wall going across, because I have more parts than I do have airspace. Sorry, let me say that better. I have more armor than I have airspace. And so therefore the entirety of the wall now as a unit is a wall. And I can plant vine on one side, I can plant other seeds on the other side. And even in the corresponding airspaces, because that may be an airspace, but I don't look at it as an airspace, I look at it in its totality, and therefore it's a wall, and therefore I can plant on both sides. Finally, now those are the three categories. Now we're going to go back and we're going to review it again, but let's just finish up the price of first nifrit. So, Yosem Yasser, Aser. What if the pirtza is greater than 10 amos? So that's the pirtza, and that is going to compromise the entirety of the wall. Hayisham kanim hadur kanim. What if I have, let's say, narrow poles? Vosalem peya melamala. Don't get confused by the word peya. Second time now in the Masech that we've seen this word peya. Here it does not mean a corner. Here peya means I attach a vine to the top of the poles, otherwise known as making it Tzuras HaPesach. Afilo b'yosem yasser mutter, even if it's wider than 10 amos, it would be mutter, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a Tzuras HaPesach basically creates a legal wall, and so therefore, even if the Tzuras HaPesach is wider than 10 amos, or as we learned earlier, higher than 20 amos, it does not matter, it will create a legal wall. Period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Okay. Now, well, what did we get out of that braisa? So again, just a quick review. There are basically three categories in this braisa. If the distance between my slats are less than 3 tefachim, but the distance between them is less than 3 tefachim, you're great. Because what you have now is a wall made up of the principle of lavud, and so therefore we have a wall from beginning to end. I can plant vine on one side and any seed on the other side. That's category one. Category number two is where the slats is anywhere between 3 to 4. But now that it's 3, It's two, and the space between them is going to be 3. That's too big for lavud. So we don't have the principle of lavud. So what's going to help us in terms of making a wall? If there's more wall, then there is airspace. So if every slat, let's say, is 3.5 tefachim, and the distance between them is 3, I have no wall because of the principle of omen merubala parts. If, let's say, they're equal, what do the brisa teach us? That's no good. And then in category number 3, I have now where each one of the slats is 4 tefachim, and the again, same basic idea. It's the gap between them is too far for lavud, assuming that the gap is 4 tefachim. It's too big for lavud, so once again, if I have omen merubala paritz, perfect. If I have equal amounts, that's no good. What's the difference between category 2 and category 3? The difference is the following. In category 2, the actual wall is less than 4 tefachim. We discussed this earlier. We're saying it right now again. Anything less than 4 tefachim is not a significant amount. Right? 4 tefachim becomes your makum chashav. So the difference between category 2 and category 3 is that in category 2, even if I'm planting on one side directly against the actual slat, I can't plant a seed on the other side, because it's not significant enough. However, in category 3, even if I don't have omen merubah laparutz, and the whole thing is not a wall in totality, but because each slat is 4 tefachim, so now I can plant grape on one side, and any other seed on the other side. Okay, so far so good. That's your basic picture of the braisa. What comes out clear from this entire braisa is that when they're equal, it's not a wall. It's no good. We have now, for the first time, a very good support for Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yehoshua. So, and the Gemara now is going to point this out. So, Ketani Mias, we're right in the middle of the Amud, first one is in the line. To Yufta de Rav Papa. The Braisa is extraordinarily challenging to Rav Papa. As the Braisa says very clearly, equal is no good. Equal amounts of wall and airspace does not create a wall. Amlucha Rav Papa, my Meloa Nichtas Viyotse. So once again, Rav Papa will tell you, well, you know how I'll defend myself by saying that when the Braisa says equal amounts, that actually doesn't mean equal. It means just a little bit more airspace than there is wall. Once again, we go back to this idea of Nichtas Viyotse, where if I took that equal amount of wall and I put it in the airspace, it wouldn't be a tight fit. It would easily go in and easily come out, i.e. the airspace is just slightly greater than that of the wall. That's why it's a problem. But if it were literally equal, exactly equal, so then it would be fine. Hachinami mistabra, and the Gemara says, you know, I know it sounds like a forced pshat, but we could work it in. Because me detani maya parts maruba ala omeid. Because when the Braisa then describes parts meruba ala omeid, there's more airspace than there is wall off keneged omeid aser. Haka omeid mutter, which again clearly implies that if it's equal, it would be mutter. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, oh, so Rav Papa will tell you, my pshat in this Braisa is not crazy. It's a very reasonable pshat. So, Lema Tiavet Yufta de Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua. Good. Now that Rav Papa defended himself, and it was such a successful defense, now we turn to Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua, and we look at him and we say, what do you do now with this Braisa? Amachal Tamech Emasefa. The Gemara says, okay, but Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua says, look, Braisa is not difficult for me at all. In fact, read the Braisa. What does it go on to say? Imayom in Merubala Parots. If you have more wool than airspace, Afkenegeda Parots Mutter. So, what does that tell you? Kiparot's Aser tells you that if they're equal, it's going to be Aser. So now, essentially, what we just realized is that the Braisa really supports and challenges both Rav Papa and Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua. Sefer Kashla Rav Papa, Resha Kashla Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua. Good. So, the Braisa is not necessarily pointing in either Amora's particular position. Sefer Rav Papa lo kasha. So the Gemara will say, look, Rav Papa will tell you the following. Again, Rav Papa's of the opinion that half and half would be good. I did the Tana Resha parts Merubala Omeid, Tana Sefer Omeid Merubala parts. Look, you know where the Braisa gives the example of Omeid Merubala parts, even though equal would also be good? For purposes of symmetry. The Braisas like to be symmetrical. Remember, Braisas were recorded in memory, so therefore we like this symmetrical sounding Braisa. That's why we're using terms like parts Merubala Omeid and Omeid Merubala parts. But truth be told, is that even Mechsa would be fine. And Reish Lo Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua Lo Kasha, and we're going to use the same argument to defend Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua. I did the Baila Misna Seifa, Omeid Merubala parts, then Reish parts Merubala Omeid. Again, same idea. Really, half and half would be Aser, according to Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, and the only reason why the Braisa uses the example of Omeid, sorry, parts meruba ala omeid is just for symmetrical purposes. Now, Bisham alaref papa misham hachilo arev lohu v'tanilohu. Now, from Rav Papa's standpoint, I understand why there are three separate categories in the Braisa, because it has to speak to three different scenarios. Ela l'Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, but according to Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, is of the opinion that half and half is no good. Li arvinu v'lisninu. So you know, category two, category three, aren't we basically making the same exact point? Meaning, in category two, what do we learn? That if it's half and half, it's no good. In category three, what do we learn? If it's half and half, it's no good. So really, isn't it the same? And so why, according to Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, is there a category number two and there's a category number three? So la'arvin of a list of kol shehu pachus mishlosha v'shlosha tzarech shelo yehei bein zeh lezeh shlosha mishum delo damib. I'm sorry. Bein zeh lezeh shlosha. So the Gemara's answer is as follows: mishum delo damib psula de reishlo psula de seifa. The Gemara says, yeah, because even though you're right, according to Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, if it's half and half, it's going to be problematic, but not for the same reason. Because look, when the distance between them is less than three, so it impedes the progress of the goat. Sorry. Yeah. Psula de Sefer Shalei Parutz Ka'omeid. I'm sorry. And Psula de Sefer Shalei Parutz Ka'omeid. And the problem with the Sefer is that you can't have more parutz than omeid. So in other words, you're right. They both result in the psul, but for different reasons. One is so because goat's progress is not been impeded. And then the second one, because you have more airspace, or according to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, you have equal airspace than you do have wall. Okay. Adkan, that now brings us to one final analysis of this very long discussion. And that is the following. In this brisa, once again, let's just quickly review. We have three categories. One where they were within three tefachim of one another. Two is when they were somewhere between 3 to 4 tefachim of one another. And three is when they're 4 tefachim or more distant from one another. Those are our three categories of the brisa. This author of this brisa is holding Lavud at what point? At 3 or at 4? Now you remember twice already now in the Masechta we had a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel whether Lavud is a 3 tefach measurement or Lavud is a 4 tefach measurement. And by the way, when I say 3 and 4, I really mean a little bit less than 3 and a little bit less than 4. But either way, where exactly is the author of this Tana hold? So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused. So look at the first case of the Braisa where it says that the distance is less than 3 between the two slats. So that's a Chachamim. So that clearly takes the position of the Tanakam, the Chachamim, that hold that Lavud is a little bit less than 3 Tefach measurement. But then we get to category number 2, and that goes from 3 to just under 4. Who is that? Asan l'Rav Shimon Gamliel. We turn the page. That is the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Amar Pachas Mi Arba Lava. The E Rabban Mishloshav Arba Shloshav Arba Chadu. Because according to the Chachamim, once you're above 3, you lost Lavud. So why would then there be a category number 2 and a category number 3? Meaning because once you're anything greater than 3, you're no longer working with the principle of Lavud. Because Abai says, look, here's how we're going to explain it. Truth be told, is that the entirety of this brisa is authored by the Chachamim, which is that only anything under 3 is worked, there's a principle of Lavud. And why is there a category number 2? Because for the following reason. You're right. Once the distance between each slat is greater than 3 or greater, you're right, we don't have Lavud. And the truth of the matter is as we already learned, if you don't have more wall than airspace, so then it's not a wall. But the point that the author of the Braisa wants to make is the following, that if the slats themselves are less than 4 tefachim, I can't even plant on one side of the slat grape, on the other side other seeds, because if it's less than 4, the slats themselves are not chashav. It's not a lavud issue, it's just that it's simply not a makam chashav, anything less than 4. I know we made that point already once before, but the Gemara is just simply pointing out, why is there a category 1? Why, once you're above 3 tefachim, what difference does it make? Answer is, it makes a difference for the actual slat itself. Rava Amar Midasefer Shem Gamliel, Reisha Namir Shem Gamliel. Rava says, look, we could go the other way. We could say that the entirety of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, he's of the opinion that Lavud works up to 4. So then, V'chi Amar Shem Gamliel, so now the obvious question. If Lavud works up to 4, so then why is there category 1, category 2? Category 1 is up to 3. Category 2 is up to 4. But if the entire Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as long as you're within 4, aren't we going to say the principle of Lavud? And doesn't that mean that the wall in its totality is a wall? The Gemara says, interesting, Hani Mila Lamala. Yes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that Lavud is by 4 tefachim, up to 4 tefachim, but that's only above. Like in the case of Korah, where the Korah almost made it to the other wall, it's within 4 tefachim of the other wall, there Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to say Lavud. Aval lemata, but if we are close to the ground, havalei kemechitza shagidim bokim ba, lo amrin and lavud. Because now it's a 3 tefach gap, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though he normally says lavud goes up to 4 tefachim, but not when it's on the ground, because anything above three, you have not impeded the progress of goats, and because you have not impeded the progress of goats, it compromises and negates the existence of this wall. Once again, you see, a second time today you see this, where this impeding of the goats seems to be connected and tied to the halacha l'moshe misinei of Lavan. Even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who normally says that Lavan is by up to four tefachim, but on the ground, where the goats can easily just walk from one side to the other side, because the gap now is greater than three, even he would say that we're not going to use the principle of Lavan. Okay, Ad Kan, that now brings us now finally to closure on this whole discussion.
The issue of the small goats going through that's not a love issue. That's a question of the falling wall.
Before today's daf, I would have nodded my head. But you see from today's daf, I mean, two times you see from today's daf that the Gemara basically puts them together. In other words, that even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds four tefachim for Lavan, but when you get down to the ground floor, and now the goats are just easily walking in and out, nope, it's not going to be a wall. Okay, so the Tashma. Here we go now. One final attempt to try to defend or prove either side, Rav Papa or Rav Huna Bridge, Rav Yeshua. Defanos halal sherubim psachim vechalanos motor. If I have walls that are made up mostly of doors and windows, it would be motor. Vavachele, hey, omen merubala parts, as long as you have more wall than airspace. So the Gemara says, isn't that confusing? Meaning, the majority of his windows and doors, as long as you have more wall than airspace, that's good. What does that mean? So the Gemara, we've done this one before, but we get to do it again. So the Gemara says, "Sheruban sakadatcha ella sheriba behen psachim vechalonis." It doesn't mean rov; it means a lot. You have a lot of windows. You have a lot of doors. All that's good and well, as long as there's more physical wall than there is open space, you're good. So mutter uvavashle omer merubala parutz hakir parutz aser. And once again, a simple reading over here would indicate that if it's 50-50, that would not be good. You need more wall than airspace. To you, after the Rav Papa. So this is not just a challenge to Rav Papa, it's a refutation of Rav Papa's position that equal is no good. And now, what's the halacha? So, the Gemara here tells us, Hilchasa Kavase, the Rav Papa. And the halacha falls like Rav Papa. Now, if you're confused, good, you're in wonderful company. The Gemara is also confused. I don't understand. Didn't we just simply refute the position of Rav Papa? And now we're saying the halacha falls like Rav Papa? How is all that supposed to work? Tiyufta, Vilchasa? The Gemara says, yeah, really? And the Gemara says, absolutely correct. Mishum didaika masisin kavase. Because when all is said and done, we go back to our Mishnah, Ditnan. Lo yipirtzos yiseros al habinyan. Our Mishnah says that the opening cannot exceed that of the wall. Then you've compromised the integrity of the wall. But if they're equal, again, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but it's a simple reading of the Mishnah, but if they're equal, hakibinyan, mutter, so then it would be permissible. So, when all is said and done, we had a lengthy discussion, but I mentioned already from the beginning, we come back to our Mishnah full circle because our Mishnah says that if the airspace exceeds the wall, that compromises the wall. So that would indicate now that if they're equal, we are good to go. You have now a bona fide wall. So on the question of Omei Kaparutz, Machlok is between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua, long discussion in the Gemara, conclusion, the Halakha is like Rav Papa.
Why don't you use this to refute the Tiyufta?
I mean, essentially, that's what we did. Why didn't the Gemara actually put it in those terms?
Right, and not even come with a
Yuka
based on this Mishnah.
Right. I hear you. So, right, and when the Gemara first made this point, which was now an almost an entire daf ago, when the Gemara first made this point, this is the second time the Gemara is reading the Mishnah like this. So, the Gemara's first response was Kasha, meaning it's difficult. It's difficult for Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua. And look, there is a preponderance of evidence. I mean, if you go over the entire daf, you will see. There's a preponderance of evidence that points in the direction of Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua. So it's a funny conclusion of the Gemara that because of our Mishnah here in Erevin, our Papa's right. Okay? But that is the conclusion. Okay. Correct. Right. In other words, when you take the full body of evidence, right, you wouldn't have arrived at that conclusion, which Okay, but that's why we have Gemara. And now let's just quickly discuss the following. Meaning, Rabbi Tershel mentioned this, and it's you have to think in these terms when you're discussing these large concepts of equal amounts. What was our conclusion? If it's equal of wall and airspace, you're good. That's the Gemara's conclusion over here. What about in other areas of halacha? Let's go over an example. Not my example. Tosus's example. The Ilchasa Karapapa Ein Litmoa. Dahacha Kaimalam Paritzka Omeid Mutter. Don't wonder, says Tosus, why over here our conclusion is that if I have equal wall and airspace, it's good. And I have a wall over Perik Beis Dechulin. And then all you got to do is just remember a short couple years ago in the Daf Yomi, where we were learning the second parak of Chulin, and what do we see over there? Masik l'kuleyama, mechsa al mechsa einu karov. Remember that when you're shechting an animal, so you got to go through the trachea, you got to go through the esophagus. And you not only have to go through them, but you got to go through the majority of both the trachea and the esophagus. And the Gemara over there says, what if it's mechsa al mechsa? What if it's half and half? So in other words, I slit through only half of the simanim. So there the Gemara says, that's no good. So Toso says, so here our conclusion is, half and half is good. There in Chulin, we're saying half and half is no good. And talk about a cryptic Tosfos, Toso says, Umaisi Allah hi detanor, v'hachal amaisi Allah, and there the discussion led to the world of Tuma Tahara, a broken utensil. We broke it into half, where now it's divided right down the middle, and it seems to be that we're living now in parallel universes, where we have a discussion regarding wool, mechza, mechza is good. We're having a discussion about shechita, mechza, mechza is no good. And why does our Gemara over here have an entire daf dedicated to the discussion and not mention shechita and simanim? Why over there in Chulin are we having an entire discussion about shechita and simanim and not mention wools? And Tosfos ends off the whole discussion with a Shema Yesh Lechalek Ben Mechitzas Le'Ester V'Tumah. So we got to make some sort of distinction between the world of Mechitza and the world of Ister and Tumah. Okay, Tosfos does not elaborate, obviously leaving us a lot of room to speculate and wonder, and as the old expression goes, this could be a Chaburi in of itself. What's the difference between the walls where the conclusion of the Gemara is very clear, Mechza Mechza is good, but in the world of Shechita, Mechza Mechza is not good. What's the difference? Tosfos says you'll go home, you'll think about it, you'll come back with an answer tomorrow. Okay. Right, that's an issue. Right, that's Issur V'Heter. Right, Tosfos says. In other words, in Issur V'Heter, Mechza Mechza is no good. Here, Mechza Mechza is good. So Tosfos says you gotta. Right. Right, correct. Mechza, generally speaking, is not good. And here it is. Okay, so Tosa says, you gotta work on it. You have to figure it out. Okay, and let's do a little bit more for today. You don't want to fall too far behind. Mekifin shosha chavalim zula malamizu, vizula malamizu, uvavashala yimin chaval chaver shosha tfachim, shir chavam vavyan yeser al tefach kadeshi hea kol asara tfachim. Okay. So now we have a legal wall. In other words, when you look at it, what do you see? You see three ropes. Right? Like a corral. That's all you see. And meanwhile, in halacha, that's not what halacha sees. If you put on your halacha glasses, what are you going to see? You're going to see an actual wall. Because again, what we're going to do over here is we're going to use the principle of lavud. We're going to have now, it's a horizontal wall, a horizontal string. It's not a string, it's a rope. It has to be thick. And I'll explain why in just a moment. It's a horizontal rope tied around, just short of three tefachim from the ground. Another rope over that. Another rope over that. So now what I've created is every one of those segments is less than three tefachim, just a shade under three tefachim. So that's going to be closed in using the principle of lavud. So I have wall on top of wall, stacked on top of that, another wall. 3 + 3 + 3 = 9. Now obviously the magic number to get to is 10, because the wall has to be 10 tefachim high. So that's why the Mishnah says that the totality of the rope itself is just going to be a little bit over a tefach, so that in total, it's a little bit under 3 with rope, a little bit under 3 with rope, a little bit under 3 with rope. So now I need how much rope? A tefach and a little bit more to make up for those lost mashahus. And so now in totality, I'm going to have a wall.
What's holding this thing up?
In other words, we'll have posts on the corners. But that's not what's making my wall. Now, what's making my wall are these three horizontal ropes. And you want to do it horizontally. The Mishnah says you could also do it vertically as well. And also you could do it with vertical poles as well. So you could do it vertically as well. So in other words, pole next to pole next to pole, the distance between each one is not going to be greater than 3 tefachim. In fact, it's going to be a little bit less than 3 tefachim, and you're good to go. So now what we've done is we've created for ourselves a halachic wall. Now, can this work under all occasions? That's subject to a debate amongst the Tanaim. Bishayara dibru, dibru Rav Yehuda says in a pinch. Only in a pinch. We're on a caravan, we're traveling, we're stopping on the way. Then I could use this mechanism of loved walls. Otherwise, according to Rav Yehuda, you cannot rely on it. V'chachamim omrim lo dibru bishayara ala bahova. Chachamim say no. We're using the example of caravan because that's usually when it's going to work. That's usually when we're going to need it. But you want to make halachic walls, you can do so anytime you want. There is no restriction, no limitation in terms of when you want to make your loved wall. And then what the Mishnah is going to seem to do is repeat itself. Where once again, first the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. You want to create a wall, you need lattice. It needs to be crisscross, both vertical and horizontal. And the Chachamim say, no, it could be horizontal, exclusively horizontal. It could be exclusively vertical. You know, there's no restriction, there's no limitation. The Gemara later on, we'll see this tomorrow, is going to wonder what just happened over here in the Mishnah. We seem to be just simply reiterating the two positions that we already saw once before. Amrav Hamnuna Amrav Hari Amru Omen Merubal Aparts Bishesi Have Omen. So the Omen Merubal Aparts, when it comes to Shesi, right? The Shesi is the vertical that's considered Omen by Rav Hamnuna Be'erav Mai. And so now we wonder. We're going to wonder out loud. We're going to have to stop over here because this is going to get involved. But now I wonder, Omen Merubal Aparts, is that going to work by horizontal direction? As it works for vertical direction. Okay, I didn't explain it well. Tomorrow we'll come back, I'll explain it better, and we'll go over exactly what we mean by Omen Meruba Alaparos, by horizontal. Okay, so again, a really one discussion for today. Parots Ka'amud, Machlokis, conclusion by Mechitzos, it works. Question of Tosfos, why doesn't it work by Shechita? Tosfos says you'll go home, you'll investigate, you'll come back tomorrow, you'll give a suggestion, and then we're talking about Love and Mechitzos. Tomorrow we're going to continue talking about Love and Mechitzos. Continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigar Rebechanan Ben Akash Amar Vasek Hashbaruch Zaka Yisrael Ficha Chir Ben Tar Mitzvah Shenemar Anay Chavetz Amar Sikol Yagdil Tor Avi Adir.